He's finished the task. He has but to return. Indeed, the Son has done great things for us. Jesus Christ is indeed most worthy of praise, for he has made us his people, a kingdom and priests. To him be the glory forever. Amen. What do we confess? What do we declare to be true? To what do we say amen? In our text today, John uses that word twice. This text, which comes at the beginning of one of the most spectacular pieces of literature, indeed at the glorious revelation of what would happen to the Church of Jesus Christ, John gives glory to the Holy Trinity, and most especially gives glory to the Son, whose sacrifice has made this all possible. And then John simply says, amen. In the account of the unveiling of the future, God is active in preserving the church. In the midst of vehement opposition, facing false teachers, indeed facing the frontal attacks of Satan, the message of God in this letter to the seven churches is that my church and its members will survive until the return of the bridegroom who will come for his bride, the church. And to that, John says, amen. God's church, the one called out by the Holy Spirit, has been purchased and won by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of the letter of Revelation is that it will persevere in the faith no matter what happens to us. The faithful remnant will confess the truth until the end. But the truth of the Church of Jesus Christ that it confesses, what is it? We hear it simply in this text today in the words of St. John. God the Son has loved us. In that love, he has freed us with his innocent blood from the death penalty that all of our sin deserved. In Christ, the Church is established, indeed made a kingdom. And in him alone it will endure. And as his kingdom of priests, we now praise him for what he has done and will praise him into all of eternity. And to all of this, John says, amen. Jesus did not fail. Rather, he overcame death in the grave for us. And as we observed yesterday, he ascended. And to that, with John, we say amen. Yes, yes, it is true. Everyone can count upon it. He has paid the price for the world's sin. He has done it all for his church, for his people. And John unfailingly declares it as he declares his praise with that word, amen. In our text today, John has one more amen. It comes along with a little Greek word, nai, and together is translated as even so, amen, or so it is to be, amen. John declares this right after he makes the observation that this whole thing, life on this earth, is going to come to an end. As he says in verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all of the tribes on the earth will wail on account of him. The one who has freed us from our sin with his blood is returning for us. The one who has ascended will return, as St. Paul told the Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. No one's going to miss it. Trumpets, angels, and the loud cry of a command, indeed, as John says, every eye is going to see him. And what a scene that will be that day. And with the return of Christ, everyone, every last woman, man, and child will finally recognize the truth. The crucified one really was and really still is the Son of God. The one who they betrayed, who cursed, who was pierced, the one who was denied, and the one who was believed and confessed, was pierced to bring forgiveness. And by faith in him and him alone, as the Redeemer, could anyone be saved. That's the truth that John saw, and that's the truth that John proclaimed, as he observed in Revelation 6, when he records what the people of the earth were doing. He said, "Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us. Hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who could stand?'" Indeed, who can stand before the throne of the Lamb? The answer to that question is clear. Not a one. No one can stand alone before the throne of the Lamb except for the redeemed. And John shows them to us in his letter. Revelation 7 records this. "And after this I looked, and behold, a great number, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all of the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" The redeemed rejoice. That's what John writes down. The Lamb came for us. He came to remove all guilt and shame. The blood of the Lamb was shed. That's another thing to confess and to declare. Amen. Amen, they say. Yes, it is so. It is true. They believed it, and so did John. And so I hope that we all do too. Having received that vision that the Father intended his church to possess as it faced the trials and the tribulations of the last day, John recorded that truth that Jesus Christ has redeemed the world, that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and that he will return to judge the living and the dead. And to that, John said, "Even so. Amen." We say that as well in faith as he does at the end of his letter. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.